Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Americans, patriots, savages, please, please don't be fooled by the garbage Hunter Biden convictions. The gun case means nothing, nothing. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about it first. Welcome back to The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely Davis, and so glad and grateful, as always, to have you join me for yet another episode. 59 episodes, everyone. Lots to cover. I'm gonna get into some things today. Thank you, loyalists, of course, for joining in and listening and viewing. I appreciate you. I hope you know that when I say that, I truly mean that with all sincerity. If you're new and you're just tuning in, welcome. Thank you so very much for making the decision to join me. I appreciate your support. The ask is always the same. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Please and thank you. It helps us. It helps us to connect. It helps us to get on every week and, of course, to grow the show. Really need your help with doing that. And I just enjoy being out with you. Shout out to the team, Rick in the house. There you go. And the great Oz, the unseen, the eye in the sky, my producer, the one who keeps me and Rick in check and keeps the show legit. You can't see him, but please know he's real. Shout out to Todd out there. Thank you, Todd. We appreciate your efforts. We appreciate your expertise and all that you do. Now, I started the show off with this whole Hunter Biden thing. Now, on The Savage Truth, we do something here. We have a practice. It's something I learned when I ran for Congress in the 5th Congressional District of Minnesota. And it's that you cannot have a knee-jerk reaction to occurrences in politics. You just can't. You can't be the first to respond. You need sometimes hold back and wait. It's important not to be the first to react or comment because, like healthcare and the weather and emotions, politics is subject to change at a moment's notice. And it changes often. Everyone got all excited about the Hunter Biden conviction. Oh, yay, he was found guilty. I hope he goes to jail. Right, I get that. Of course, the left is saying this. You know, you heard the comments. See, Republicans are wrong. The justice system is not corrupt because Hunter was found guilty and Joe vowed to not pardon him. Our guy was convicted too. So all things are fair and equal, right? Let's get back to the election of 2024 now. They can't say, the Republicans can't say it's not fair. No. Really? Is that what you're really thinking? Let me remind everyone, especially those on the left, about what actually happened here. This was not justice. They have been sitting on this case since 2018. 2018, people. The Biden administration, as well as the Biden crime family, have given two middle fingers, I'm not going to shoot them up, but you get the picture, okay, to the justice system. They're trying to cancel, destroy, and imprison their main political rival to prevent him from becoming the 47th president of the United States. Of course, I'm referring to the great Donald Trump. Hunter was given a sweetheart deal. He didn't take it. They sat on the case, concealed it from the American people so as to get sleepy, senile Joe into the presidency. And the only reason we actually know about this is because a few brave and hardy whistleblowers spoke up and told us about it, which, by the way, forced them to bring Hunter to court because they felt some pressure. Here's the headline from NBC News, just to prove my point so you can get an idea of what I'm talking about. Here's the headline. Hunter Biden's guilty verdict upends a top Trump talking point. And here's the subheading. Trump often accuses Biden of weaponizing the Justice Department, but a prosecutor working under that very same agency just won against the president's son. Now, this was written on June 11th by Jonathan Allen, Alan Smith, and Catherine Doyle. Now, here are some more headlines in USA Today. Hunter Biden guilty verdict proves Trump's trial wasn't rigged. Are you kidding me? From Spectrum News, here's the headline. Trump Republicans dissatisfied with Hunter Biden conviction. Here's The Guardian. Republicans push conspiracy theories after Hunter Biden verdict, a fake trial. From The Washington Post, it read, Republicans fume at Trump's son. ABC Breaking News, here's their headline. Hunter Biden's conviction will be harder for Republicans. In what way? New York Times, Hunter Biden conviction undercuts a Trump narrative and a fundraising pitch, even though Trump raised an incredible amount of money out of the state of California. California. Now, all of a sudden, we see Silicon Valley billionaires are contributing to Trump out in the open. Folks, the Hunter Biden guilty verdict does not upend a talking point at all. Our points remain, and Donald Trump should continue to talk, continue to point it out. This conviction is a big, fat, juicy, nothing burger and a cover for the real cover-up. The real case that's much more serious, the one they want you to forget about, they want you to turn away from, and that is that tax fraud case coming up in September 5th. This is the case that matters. Make no mistakes, Hunter will do no time. He won't do any time. The gun charges mean nothing. It's optics only. It's a smokescreen. The September 5th terror case, that's the one that we should pay attention to. And they're going to go easy on him. They're going to go easy on him and say, hey, Hunter, hey, we found Hunter guilty on the gun case. He's admitted in front of the entire country his mistakes and his troubles with addiction. He faced the consequences and accepted the jury's verdict. Let's not pound the guy into the ground. Maybe we should just plea it out, okay? Expect to hear something like that. But the September 5th FARA tax case includes who? Joe, Hunter, and Obama. Yes, the Foreign Agent Registration Act, FARA, okay? The Biden team was indeed paid by foreign governments. That's a fact. That's a savage truth. That's another savage truth. They never registered as lobbyists. This is a direct violation of the law. And they weren't lobbying the big guy. Who were they lobbying? The president. Who was the president at the time? Barack Obama. Understand, savages, what I'm saying here. Foreign agents were paying the Biden crime family to have influence in the United States and inside the Obama White House. They're going to make that case go away because they most definitely don't want to have Obama and Joe Biden on the witness stand. We're talking about possibly the greatest cover-up in political history. So I'm not excited. Those lefty media outlets are correct, but not for the reasons they state. This is why you must judge absolutely everything the left does according to their reaction, okay? Listen at how the media reported Hunter's obvious guilt, to which we know and knew about it back in 2018. You know, when we said that the laptop actually did belong to Hunter, that it was real, that the store worker or owner was not a hired plant by the Republicans speaking out to hijack the election. It was not a matter of Russian collusion, and that it actually was Hunter in the videos, sucking on a glass pipe of crack, wielding a gun with various women, and lying about his use of drugs on the application. We said all that back in 2018, and we were called racists and conspiracy theorists, and that we were in collusion behind Trump, who was colluding with Putin in Russia, right? Biden's guilt. From the media, mind you, no one gets this kind of sentiment or pass or this kind of framing, okay? And so what they said was that this was a family tragedy. The jury handed down a guilty verdict, of course, but not only on his drug addiction, but his collapse. The political consequences may be tempered, they said, but the scourge that has touched so many American families, and now the first family. This is the covers that he got after being found guilty. Aw, poor Hunter. Indicted and convicted by a jury of his peers on an actual crime, a federal crime. Well, we all know someone who has gone through it. The scourge of addiction. Only the first family of crime gets that kind of spin, okay? The FARA case, folks. Savage fans, listen to me. Pay attention and watch out for that FARA case in September. That's the one to focus on. This is where the biggest spin will play out, because the Democrat Party will do anything to protect their precious Barack Obama. I have a feeling we will be talking about that soon enough. So, CNN has announced the final rules for the scheduled debate between Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. Both camps stated on Saturday that they have agreed to a number of stipulations for the event to take place on June 27th, which is great. They agreed to some of the terms as a 90-minute face-off with two commercial breaks. It will be hosted, of course, by the State of the Union anchors Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, during which neither candidate will be allowed any contact with members of their campaign. Makes sense. Here are the stipulations. Let me give them out to you really quick in case you haven't heard. They will get podiums, but no props, no notes. Each gets a pen, a pad, and a bottle of water. The mic will be muted except when their turn is to speak, and there's no studio audience. Now, while it is possible that other candidates, namely RFK, Cornel West, and Jill Stein, could qualify for the debates, it's unlikely. Kind of unlikely, right? In order to qualify, they would have to receive at least 15% in at least four national polls, and they also have to appear on the ballot in enough states that they could possibly win 270 electoral votes. Now, of the three non-major party candidates, only Kennedy has received more than 15% in any qualifying poll, but he is still one short with just three. Also, RFK is only on the ballot in six states and has a possible electoral vote total of just 89, which, of course, leaves him 181 short of the total necessary to participate in the debate altogether. Here's my question. Can I get a drug test? Because we know they're going to nuke Joe up with so much amphetamine to keep him going for that 90 minutes. Can someone check Biden for stimulants before the debate? That would be great. Either way, this debate is good. It's just simply good for Donald Trump, right? We all know that. If he highlights all the accomplishments of his last presidency, all of Biden's promises and failures since his presidency, and simply compares the results, Trump slides into the election. He's going to do that anyway. It is really important for Trump to call Biden out for all of his failed policies and remind those who voted for him how he promised. And not only did he not deliver, but has rendered us poorer, more vulnerable to our political rivals, and more divided than ever. And that is only proven by the overt progression of his pathetic, inept, and failed administration, right? We're living through it. Failed on the economy, failed on protection in the military, and keeping America and Americans safe, weakening our military strength, our enemies emboldened by the obvious weakness of the Biden administration, failed in the promises to unify the country, remember, and be the adult in the room, right? Being the adult in the room, there is nothing moderate about Joe Biden and his policies. In fact, he's far left, right? He's communist, socialist, Marxist. He has also failed on our energy independence. The man has everything he touched has failed. It crumbles. And Donald Trump should admit, he should mention, of course, failed at the southern border, where some estimated 15 to 20 million immigrants have come across that border into the U.S., many of whom are from nations and countries who literally hate us. Like, for instance, the eight suspected terrorists with possible ISIS ties who were recently arrested in New York, L.A., and Philadelphia. This is how Trump wins the debate. Proof and consequences of Biden's failed border policies. Eight men from Tajikistan with possible ties to ISIS out of Central Asia were arrested over the weekend in New York, Philadelphia, and Los Angeles. Three people familiar with the matter told NBC News and other news outlets on Tuesday. The suspects had been on the FBI's Joint Terrorist Task Force radar and were arrested by personnel with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, of course, better known as ICE, the sources also say. All eight men crossed through the southern border into the U.S. and their criminal background checks came back clean when they crossed, says two officials familiar with the matter. at least two of the men crossed the border in spring of 2023, and one of those men used the CBP One app, which the Biden administration created to allow migrants to book appointments to claim asylum. Those officials gave that report. It's unclear whether they entered at the same time and same place. We don't know that. But by the time intelligence collected on overseas ISIS targets connected the men to their terror group, they had already been vetted by immigration authorities and allowed into the country. This, of course, has heightened concerns among national security officials that a dangerous affiliate of the now splintered terror group, ISIS, could potentially carry out an attack on U.S. soil. Though there is no hard evidence indicating they were sent to the U.S. as part of a terror plot, right? At least some of the Tajik nationals had expressed extremist rhetoric in their communications, on their social media, or in direct private communications that U.S. intelligence was able to monitor, thank God. Well, that discovery set off a flurry of emergency investigative efforts by federal agents and analysts across the country, including physical and electronic surveillance of the men. A counterterrorism operation reminiscent of the years immediately following 9/11, when the FBI investigated numerous homegrown plots. So where are these men? Where are they? The concern to U.S. officials and those of us who didn't vote for Joe Biden is that the men hail from Tajikistan, a corner of Central Asia that in recent years has been a source of steady recruitment by ISIS-K, the Afghanistan-based affiliate of the Islamic terrorist group. ISIS-K is led primarily by Tajiks, who have carried out a series of recent attacks in Europe on behalf of the group, including the Crocus Hall attack in Moscow in March that killed more than 100 people. So if you want Joe Biden to remain in office, expect more of this, expect it more often, and expect it to become more and more serious. National security officials fear that at least some of the eight Tajiks were ripe for radicalization by ISIS-K while they were inside the U.S., potentially struggling with isolation, financial stress, or discrimination. Yeah, right. All things that could make a person susceptible to ISIS propaganda glorifying violence. Here's my greatest concern, and I'm sure many of yours as well. Senior officials and all of us who wished for a secure border and a strong military now see a so-called lone wolf attacker who emerges seemingly from nowhere as perhaps the more likely and potentially equally dangerous. That's the bigger threat, rather than the more traditional coordinated plot carried out by trained operatives. Debate or no debate, Joe Biden loses. The more we become vulnerable to these kind of attacks from our enemies on our own soil, I mean, think about this, folks. Putin arrested Americans for far less. These people hate us and we need to be ready. But the savage truth is Joe Biden hates us as well. That's what's clearly obvious. Now, after a period of surveillance, federal officials in recent days faced a difficult decision, whether to continue surveilling the men in order to determine if they were part of a potential plot or wider terrorist network, or to move in and take them off the street. So rather than risk the worst case scenario of a potential attack, senior U.S. officials decided to move in and have the men apprehended by ICE agents. The men remain in federal custody on immigration charges and will be eventually deported following the counterterror investigation into them. Joe Biden cannot win a debate with or without notes, a pen, or an audience. And even with someone standing on stage whispering in his ear, because his policies have already failed, he therefore can't win. This is not about winning a debate. It's just about what is needed in order for suburban women and independents so that they can confirm that Joe Biden is due at the senior citizen facility and we need Donald Trump back in office to get this country, our economy, our independence and common sense back and our enemies back in line and shaking in their boots at the very thought of an upset United States. Okay. Now, as I close out, let me weigh in on this Caitlin Clark situation, because as a Black person today, I'm upset. Okay. If you don't know who Caitlin Clark is, I'll give you the rundown and completely wreck these racist, petty WNBA players who are assaulting her on the basketball court. Caitlin Clark, who happens to be white, is a professional basketball player for the Indiana Fever on the Women's National Basketball Association, otherwise known as the WNBA. She played college basketball for the Iowa Hawkeyes from 2020 to 2024 and is regarded as one of the greatest collegiate players of all time. She's 22 years old. She's 6 feet tall. She plays guard with the number 22 for the Fever. Basically, what I'm saying to you is that white girl can hoop, okay? She can jump. She can get up. And we have some haters out there, okay, in the WNBA and in the Black community who hates the fact that a white woman who has broken some Black basketball hooping records and drew the most attention and put more asses in the seats than any other female player in the history of the NBA. Woke media, and a lot of the WNBA players are mad, right? And they're the only ones that's causing all this havoc. Caitlin Clark is not obligated, right, to speak or participate in all the hate surrounding her. Her only obligation is to her team and to becoming the very best player she can be. I'm not saying she's the best player in the WNBA. She's a rookie. She's got a lot to learn. But I am saying that she is one of the best, and she is the biggest draw right now. Okay. In fact, if I'll go out to say she's the only draw right now, she's the most popular. She is the most talked about, and she has drawn more viewers than ever before to the sport, WNBA. If it were not for Caitlin Clark, there wouldn't be nearly as many tickets sold or jerseys. There wouldn't be as much interest in the female version of the game. And because of this fact, the players of the WNBA have all gotten an upgrade. They have better viewership. They're getting better flights. There's more interest, etc. But when I watch her play, I don't see a white woman playing basketball. I just see a skilled female basketball player. Now, there is racism going on out here, and no one can tell me differently, okay? There is hate from many, particularly Blacks in the WA and woke media, and otherwise, all who despise the fact that a white woman is dominating the headlines in women's basketball right now. And it's mainly because of her race. Race and entitlement. So the biggest star, and perhaps the only star right now in women's basketball, is Caitlin Clark. Now, this should be a star in the cap of diversity, but it has sparked a lot of rage and resentment by the so-called champions of diversity because the Black community think they own basketball. But you don't. They don't. The Black community doesn't own basketball or football. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, even though the Black community invented hip hop music, the so-called GOAT of hip hop is white. Yes, been named Eminem. And no one disputed that. So I can say the very same thing for golf or soccer or gymnastics or tennis, right? Can't say white people own these sports. I don't remember Tiger Woods getting a lot of hate for being the greatest during his time. Not hearing a whole lot of racial slurs for Simone Biles in gymnastics. Now, Serena and Venus definitely experienced some hate early on in their careers, but that quickly fizzled by the way of sheer dominance and talent. And of course, now the next star in tennis is Coco, another young Black woman. And she, like all the others I mentioned, are multimillionaires. They live well. They have multiple commercials and endorsement deals, etc. But the WNBA seems to be struggling. Racial resentment still exists in professional sports. It's just that it's going in the opposite direction. Here's the saddest truth. Before Caitlin Clark, no one talked about, much less watched, the WNBA. By now, you've heard about the footage of Caitlin taking hits in the head and flagrant fouls from various players who are hateful, jealous, resentful, petty, and racist. The most recent being from a player, a Chicago Sky guard named Kennedy Carter, who assaulted her. Now, this was absolute assault. She hip-checked her to the ground in the third quarter. No reason for the hip check, okay? The ball was not even inbounded. So this was an outright assault. It was egregious and it was unnecessary. Now, after shoving Caitlin Clark to the ground, she calls Caitlin the B word, has no remorse, and was tweeting about it afterwards with some jealous, hating fans kind of egging her on, encouraging her to continue this animalistic behavior. Now, you know me, savages. I have to go out with the savage truth. Here's the savage truth. Caitlin Clark is the reason so many have begun to pay attention to female basketball. She's talented, more than most in the WNBA. She happens to be white. She's straight, and she's exciting. Caitlin Clark has invigorated interest in the WNBA with her electrifying performances and remarkable skills, drawing a fresh wave of fans and media attention to the league. I mean, you know, this is what people do. Tiger Woods did it to golf. Simone Biles does it for gymnastics, right? I mean, this is just how it goes. Her rise has been marred, unfortunately, by incidents of hostility from some current WNBA players, quite a few Black media members, and a lot of Black fans who are flat out racist, Black supremacists, all who clearly feel threatened by her prominence. There is tension, and that tension is exacerbated by underlying racial issues. As Clark, a superior white straight player, often finds herself in the midst of a predominantly Black league. Therein lies the problem. Black supremacy all over the league. This dynamic has led to animosity directed at her, and it stems not just from professional jealousy, but also from racial biases. The situation highlights the tragic intersection of race and sports, where a player's success can sometimes become a lightning rod for deeper societal tensions, and it's overshadowing the potential unity and growth her presence could bring to the WNBA. But it won't, because Black supremacy has been allowed in sports, with too many turning a blind eye and justifying the assaults with weak, racist arguments. But I'll say it, I personally don't watch the WNBA. I've never been interested. I'm sure a lot of you are like me. You can't name five WNBA players, but I can name two. Two. There's Brittany Griner, right, who was arrested in 2022 on drug smuggling charges in Russia. Can't tell you what team Brittany played for. I can't tell you her stats or anything else about her. And then there's Caitlin Clark, who has the biggest name and draw for the WNBA right now. And again, just like there was a lot of interest in golf when Tiger played, and tennis when Serena played, and gymnastics when Simone flipped, I know a little bit about Caitlin. And that is because of her talent and what she's brought to the game. Now, if you're Black and you don't like that, that's your savage problem. I'm rooting for Caitlin. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely. The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.